Tonight, I've asked Billy to come and share his testimony tonight. And, you know, the scripture says that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And he shared his story with me several months ago, and I'd kind of followed it when he was sick and the things that were going on in his life. And I've known Billy for well over 20 years now. But I know when he shared his story with me, he shared bits and pieces of it. Every time I'm like, I walk away from it going, man, God really moved in your life. And so I wanted him to come and share because I believe that it's going to touch someone's life in this place. And I believe that it's important that we share stories when God moves, right? So I'm going to ask Billy to come. As he comes, I ask you to give your attention, give him a hand as he comes and shares his story.
So this isn't the first time I've been behind a microphone. So if I get a little ignorant with you, I was raised in a Holy Ghost church. I do what God tells me to do when I'm up here. I was called to preach a long time ago, but I started running from God. But I'm going to tell you my testimony. But before I do that, how many was here last Sunday when Joe prayed for me and called me up front? If you heard what he said, he had said, I pray that they find nothing. Before I come up here, the doctor already told me that I had bone spurs and osteoporosis and all that stuff, and I was limping, right? Next day, I go to the bone doctor, and I go limping in there. And I was in there a long time, and I'm like, man, you get paid a lot of money, come on. He comes in there, and he goes, man, I've been looking at this chart. I don't see anything. Amen. He goes, you're going to feel a little discomfort. I'm going to give you a shot. And I haven't limped since. I still wear the little bandage because he told me to, right? I used to believe that God was just going to heal you when you prayed and you didn't need no doctors, right? But when you run from God as I did, he's going to get your attention. So if anybody's in here running from God, listen to this story. From this tall, a little bitty guy, the time I come out, my mama taught me the Bible. Some people was raised on beans and cornbread. Well, I was raised on a belt and a Bible. I had plenty of beans and cornbread, you can tell. Bible says that he will, you know, while your enemies are at you, God's going to feed you, is what the Bible says. I must have a lot of enemies because he feeds me well. But I'm okay with that. Now listen to me. A year ago, I think Friday, I got out of the hospital. When I went in down here to Baxter, my chest was hurting and my feet were swelling. And when I went to the, it was in the middle, early in the morning, my son took me. And the emergency room doctors, as brilliant as they are here in Baxter County, over in Baxter County, said, you'll be out in just a little bit. We'll give you a pill, get that fluid off of you. Well, I was already taking pills to keep fluid off of me. A little bit later, they said, no, we're going to keep you overnight. They couldn't get my heart rate right. So Dr. Camp came in and he said, we're going to have to ship you to Little Rock. I never thought the first time I'd fly in a helicopter would be trying to save my life. You know, and we get to Little Rock. And I don't know, I do now, but I don't know about people that work for yourself. We don't do Medicaid. We work for ourselves and pay for ourselves as we go. That's just how it is. The lady told me, as she was fixing to put me under, on February 28th of last year, she said, if you don't have Medicaid when you wake up, you're not going to wake up. So that'll scare you, but you know, you don't have a whole lot of choice. You're already on a bed. They put me under. I woke up March the 18th, 3 weeks. Now, during that 3 weeks, I have a little sister I love dearly. My sister is a Jehovah's Witness, and she don't believe the way we was raised. So she knows I'm dead. They told her, you're not going to get Medicaid in 10 days. It doesn't happen. It's going to take months and months and months and months for you to get it. I want to show you how God puts people in your life from years ago. The person who signs off on Medicaid, I've been arguing with her 15 years. She's my niece. And when she found out I was in the hospital, I had Medicaid in the matter of just a little bit. Because I was approved for it. Okay, so now I'm still in a coma. And they've got pictures, and it doesn't matter if you see the pictures. I just want you to know something. The Bible says, and we know the Bible says it, with God all things are possible. The Bible also says all things are possible to him that believes. That's all I knew growing up. We didn't go to the doctors. Mama prayed. That's all I know. And I'm going to tell you something else about me. I ain't a saint. I ain't never been one. Years ago, over in Valley Springs, I helped a church get started. I wasn't a youth pastor, but I helped the youth. And I got away from God. And I spent 5 years in prison because of it. Now, that'll shut you up for a minute. But the Bible says he's going to establish you. Let me tell you the best place to get established. Don't go to prison. But one of the best places to get established when you're running from God, he'll set you down behind the bars, behind a fence. And I preached every day in prison. Preached or teached every day for 5 years. People got saved every day for 5 years because God set me down. Now, fast forward, I get out. You say you're going to do all this stuff when you get out of prison. I wouldn't call what I was doing running from God. I just wasn't going to church. I was running from God again. And maybe he felt like I didn't get his attention well enough behind bars. Because, see, I was a successful inmate. I had a ministry in prison. Had the only inmate-led revival in the state of Oklahoma in prison. I got people coming to church. I didn't, but the God that works through me. He established me there. I've seen many, many people saved. I've seen many miracles. But I have never been through what I went through this last year. They cut me open. And they can throw the pictures up, but I have a scar from here to here. And I've got a whole lot of stuff right here. We got a recording while I was in a coma with my family. He has 0% chance to live without a new heart. His heart's at 0% functioning. He is dead. They had me hooked up to an ECMO machine, which pumps your blood in and pumps your blood out. That's what it does. Had two hoses coming here, two hoses here, and I just continually, while I was asleep or in a coma, that 85-year-old mama of mine was praying for me. There. She's got stage 4 cancer, but instead of going to her thing, she came to mine and sat there in that hospital room and prayed for me while I was in a coma. So after that 20 days or whatever it was, I woke up and I had a trach. Had a hole in my throat this big. That'll scare you. Because you think, I'm never going to talk again. I don't know nothing about medicine. You're never going to talk again. Never going to talk right. Well, as you can see, that healed up overnight. It blew their mind. They put a piece of tape on it. Said, we'll come back tomorrow and take the tape off. And put the tube back in. They had to pull it out. But when they pulled the tape off, it was completely closed up, and I was talking. And I told my son in text, I said, I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. The next day, I called him on the phone and talked to him. So this is a whole bunch of miracles. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. Number one, if you're running from God, you don't want him to shut you down. And number two, he's still in the miracle working business. And it's not just here. It's here and here. You know, you need someone to pray for you. That's very important. But you need the faith to believe it. You need to get up and say, you know what? God, if you did it for him, he can do it for me. You got to remind God. And I don't care if you don't have to agree with me. It doesn't matter. You remind God. God reminded God of his promise. You remind God of his word. Your word says, you do that. All right, back to what I was telling you. So whenever I woke up, this guy walks in, he says, if you lay in that bed, you're dead. you have to get up. Now, I don't know how many of y'all have been in a coma, but you can't just get up. So they swung me out of the bed. I tried to stand up, and that didn't work. They set me back down, and they had just got done. You know that feeding tube they stick in your nose? They had just got done trying to change that on me with me awake, and they're here trying to shove a pop down your nose about yay long. I don't go for that. So this woman come in, tried to help me get up, and I'm thinking they're trying to stick this nose thing back in. I wasn't trying to get up. I'm like, no, you're not fooling me. 2 days later, she comes back, and they got me stood up. And that was it. In 5 days, I was walking around in a room with help. In a week and a half, 2 weeks, I was walking around the unit pushing this machine I'm hooked up to. And in 2 weeks, I'm walking miles around the hospital pushing this machine. They said they figured it up when I talked to them last. It was 3 marathons that I walked in 3 months while hooked up to a heart machine. I'd go down to, listen, you're not going to make me, I'm very bullheaded, and that's good and bad. But they brought a wheelchair for me to sit in, if you know what a heart cath is, to go to the heart cath. I said, no, I'll walk. You can't walk to the heart. Yes, I can. I can do what I want. And the guy that's over the whole hospital said, you leave him alone and let him do what he wants. They've changed policy because God was trying to heal me. They let the heart people get up and walk around if they want to get up and walk around. As far as they want to go. Listen, I'm telling you something. I'm very big on the Holy Ghost. When I was in prison, you know, a lot of Bibles now, they don't put that Holy Ghost in there. They put the Holy Spirit, and that's cool. Mine don't. But I had a guy tell me one time, he was very defensive. He said, my Bible don't have the Holy Ghost in it. And I said, well, maybe if your Bible got the Holy Ghost, you'd see a little bit more. Now, that I come from an old school, very old school. I'm not telling you how to read the Bible. I'm not telling you how you should stand up. I'm not telling you what you should do. I'm telling you what works for me. Listen, from the time I was... there ain't an instrument I can't play, okay? I did it all over the country playing honky-tonks. I did running from God before I got this prison time. Well, when I got in prison, I began to preach and start a ministry. Had like 5 guys, 30 guys, 100 guys, 300 guys. If you build on the Holy Ghost, doesn't matter what you got going on, God will build it. It doesn't matter, okay? So I'm walking. I go down to the gift store, and they made a TV thing out of this. I would go, and I'd buy 50 or 100 suckers, and I'd go to every unit on my floor and pass them out to the nurses and the doctors that would take them. And people say, well, that's why they like you. Well, I don't care why they like me. I want the people that's working on me to be happy with me, right? And they do. I mean... they've invited me back to tell my story. The biggest thing in a healing, in a miracle, I'm going to tell you something, I was dead. I died, I coded, and they brought me back to life. And then they put me in a room. And I laid there. I didn't go to heaven in my coma. I didn't go to none of that stuff. It was pretty weird. The dreams and things that you see. But the whole time I was out, my mama was praying, and my family was praying. And I'm a walking miracle on many different terms. I should have died in prison, because I'm telling you something, it was the roughest prison in Oklahoma. And I didn't have any problems in it. I mean, none. God set me up for success. This here was just time to get my attention. And you don't want it. You don't want to go through a situation because you're running from God that puts you flat on your back, helpless, and your family. The hardest thing on me was when I woke up and I began to see the text and the post and all that stuff of how it was working on my family that I was dying. They were prepping my family that I was going to die. I told you I was bullheaded, so I decided not to. But it was, you know, the Bible says that we're so greatly surrounded by these witnesses, right? Let me tell you something. If you had somebody praying for you at one time or another, that's part of that witness group. You can do whatever you want to do. You got the choice to do whatever you want to. He preached on Jonah a couple weeks ago. Jonah had a choice. But I'm going to tell you something. God's will is going to outrun your will every time. Amen. Go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. I'm going to do something for you when you get there if you're going to run for me. You're going to run from me, I'm going to put something in your path. If God's got a plan for you, you're either going to do it or you're going to die. That's my firm stand on it, because that's what he told me when I was down. You're either going to do it or you're going to die. I have lived in motels since I've got out. I have been homeless. I have run. But at the end of the day, I always know where my help come from. If you have an issue, it doesn't matter if it's, listen, I went to see my sister and my mom today. And when you don't have any hope, it doesn't matter what you're going through. When you have no one to call out to, and she's so stressed and just down in the dumps. Well, my cousin was there, and she's one of them old Holy Ghost people too. And she's been through the same thing. But, you know, depression's real. But the Holy Ghost is bigger than depression. You know, it's not just a figure in the Bible. In the book of Acts, they could have stopped it with an ACT, but they put the S in there because it continues on. All the works of Paul today, all the miracles. If you want more, ask for more. If you want things to be better, you be better. And if you're going to be better, things will get better. God does not lie, and his word does not return void. If you'll stand before God, you'll stand before everything else. If you'll kneel before God, everything else will kneel before you. And that may sound like I'm a little cocky about it, but I am when it comes to the Holy Ghost. Listen, I have seen miracles in my own 6 years old. How many have a wood-burning stove growing up or still do? And get hot. I fell on one at 6 with my arm. Mama pulled me off. My skin's on the stove. Arm just hanging. Now, we don't miss church for nothing. The next morning, that was Saturday night, I have to get up in front of the church and say the books of the Bible. She said, "Son, let's see your arm." "Mom, I don't know which one it is." Healed overnight. I have seen her pray for a broken nose before I was a teenager with a bone sticking out. As she prayed, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm watching it heal. So this is nothing to me. I've seen a lot. But there had to be a purpose. God didn't just do that for no reason. And so I can tell people, Joe can preach to you all day long. He's a good little preacher. But sometimes you need to see someone from the outside that's just come in here that I've known him a long time. God blesses Joe because he's obedient. He scared me when I wasn't. This is a very fearful thing. They couldn't stop the blood. My mama has a scripture for that. It's in Ezekiel. She has a scripture for that. She read that on me. I'm just serious. If there's and I would call my mom having a bad day. Now listen, when you have a bad day in prison, you have a bad day. I'd call my mama complaining, having a bad day. And my mama say, "I think you need to talk to God, click." Well, now she don't really like it when I get blunt. But God heals me because of her prayers from all these years. You know, I don't want to see anybody go through what I went through, but I promise you, God is no respecter of persons. And if you are listening to me, and you're running from God, and you've been in this situation with God for years, well, you know God, and you know what he'll do, I would tell you, if for no other reason but to be safe, get right with God. It doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt to go to church. Doesn't hurt to stay right with God. You're going to make mistakes. If you don't, give me a call. I'll give you a couple of mine. I do it every day. I got a temper. You know, I work with customers all the time. I'm a contractor, so that's what we do. And everybody tells me the customer is always right, or at least no, you're not, or you wouldn't call me. If you were right, you would do it. You call me, I'm right. This is what we do. And that's hard for me to keep my tongue bridled. And it doesn't matter who it is. I don't care. That's somebody that works for me back there talking to you. And let me tell you something else about how God works. I was out of prison about 2 months. I'm going to tell on Chris here. Chris came up here a while ago and got prayed for. And I went to work on this house. And this guy was outside working on it. The guy had hired me to work on it. He says, "You need some help?" I said, when someone comes to look to work, you give them some work. I said, "Yeah. Where do you live?" On that anthill. He was homeless. Best hand I ever had. And still is. He'll argue with me on everything. But God put him in my life. Put him and her in my life. Put y'all in my life. He doesn't do these things by accident. Who I am and how I am, somewhere in this room, God needs someone to hear who I am and what I've went through. I ain't telling your story for me, or my story for me. I'm telling it because God needs someone to hear it. Tonight, Joe asked me to do it tonight for a specific reason. There is nothing I'm afraid of to go through. Nothing. You know, now when people get how Daddy used to say, when people get ignorant with me, I don't handle it the same. I'm like, I died this last year. Ain't nothing you gonna do scare me. So we're gonna discuss this like rational people and get it figured out. I had a swan. It's some kind of thing called a swan coming out my neck about that far, or this side, and it goes down and comes around here, and they pull that out. And I watched them do this side, pulling the tubes out. And the doctor looks at me, and he goes, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "You're putting 3-inch needles in my chest, dude. Do you think I'm okay?" But I watched them, and they said, when I do the left side, they're going to have to put me under for just a minute. I said, okay. So it was like 8 o'clock. Wheeled me into the room. Said, okay, I'm going to just put you under for just a minute. And I was just like a minute, and I opened my eyes, and it was 11:30. It was 3.5-hour surgery. They lied. Doctors will lie. But being obedient, I would stop and talk to people that was laying in a bed, dying, giving up. Here I am, holes all in me, pushing this machine. Get up. I seen you had a grandchild come in here the other day. You got something to live for. Amen. Get up. And that very same person got out before I did. And come tell me, I would have never got up if you hadn't told me to. Sometimes being blunt and outright and just straightforward, it's the best way to be. You're going to hurt some feelings, and you're going to get your feelings hurt. So what? You got more feelings. You can just put them over there, let them be hurt for a while. So getting Medicaid in 10 days. Man, I hate this thing. Getting Medicaid in 10 days. Now I've gotten my teeth ripped out, and I'm getting dentures. God bless me in that, because that's not cheap. Everything, you know, they want to give me, and I work every day, but they send me a check, and I take it just so everybody knows. I don't care, but that's just how my life is. I'm a convicted felon, and I don't run from that either. I made mistakes. If any of y'all haven't made a mistake, please stand up. That's what I thought. I don't care that you know that I've been to prison. I'm the best person I can be today. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that I call in prison right now to pray for me. They made that mistake, and they'll never get out. They'll never get out of prison. But they call me, or there's an app that they can text me on all the time. And the day before he prayed for me about my knee and them not finding nothing, a little bitty old 5'6", 150-pound soaking wet preacher in prison that's going to be there the rest of his life, very bold, he said, "Oh, no, they're not going to find nothing. I claim that in Jesus' name." And you know, when somebody says that to you, it don't matter how long you've been, you're hurting. They already found it, dude. That's what you want to say. And then whenever the doctor says it again, you remember what you said, made you look stupid, you know. God will do that. He'll make you look ignorant. Don't ever get in front of him. Be led. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go to the doctor. Find out that bad news, because that's just an opportunity for God to show who he is. Get that bad news, because without it, you don't know what to pray for. Go in there and get it. And when they tell you, say, "Well, I got this little book here. When I come back, I expect you to say something different." Being very bold. The Bible, I believe, says in Hebrews 1:14 about, or somewhere, about his ministers being a flame of fire, doesn't it? Well, you can't be a flame of fire if you're timid. If the Lord tells me to pray for you, I will come pray for you. It doesn't matter, like he did last week. You don't even have to like me. You can get mad at me for a minute. I'll pray for you. You can get on your mat and put it over there. Had an old preacher tell me one time he used to come to the jail and visit. I said, "Some of this stuff ain't right with these people coming in." He says, "It's like a T-bone steak. You eat the meat and throw the bone away, buddy." He said, "We're all flesh." He said, "The prophets in the Bible and the apostles, they were a little bit closer. Their lives were a little bit harder." I had a preacher tell me, I was right across the street in a jail from his church, never came to see me. Kind of made me mad and hurt my feelings. I'm not going to win. And he told me, when he finally talked to him, he said, "God told me not to." What? Some things you have to go through by yourself with God. It ain't nobody else's business. Yours and God. That's what testimonies are for. That's what makes you overcomers. You got proof now that God does things that nobody else can do, that nobody else will do, that nobody else will believe. God can't heal. I'm telling you what, if we can get the, one of these days I get you the interview. I was the sickest man in the state of Arkansas. There was no hope without a new heart. In Baptist Hospital in Little Rock, they said, in 44 years, only 7% of the people that had my, as bad as I was, walked out of the hospital in 44 years. You see, that's God. God isn't, listen, God, what was it, 8 people with Noah? There was a bunch of people that died. He's not relegated to save anybody. That's on our side to come and ask. He don't have to do anything. As my mommy used to tell me, and I didn't understand it for years, God's done did all he's going to do. What? That's what the Holy Ghost is for. That's our teacher. That's who we pray, how we pray. You pray much in tongues? You can hear it all over the church house, and that's the way it needs to be and in order. I'm giving glory to God because, and I give honor to Joe. The Bible says give honor where honor's due. And I'm not just saying it because he's a pastor, it's because he's a friend of mine. And this kid helps everybody. Everybody. I know some people he helped, I'll be like, "Nah, I'm going to have to get a whole lot more of the Holy Ghost to help that person." Mm-mm. That's just, you got to be honest, right? And then you talk to God about it, and God will say, well, go help him. And real quick, you know, talking about miracles, let's go way back. Let me tell you how God works. Way, way, way back. He healed me with modern technology and God and walking and God. Read the story of Moses and Pharaoh. Can you imagine Moses? All right, Lord, how are we going to get them this time? Frogs? Flies? What? You see what I'm saying? God will use whatever he's got and whatever he needs to use to get your attention and to defeat your enemy. It won't make any sense to you. God's not going to do that. Don't ever say God's not going to do that. He's used everything that he's wanted to use. From a donkey to a fish to me. Sometimes me and the donkey is the same thing. Been said that many times. But God, I say it a lot on my Facebook stuff, but God. How many knows God is real? How many knows he is ready to do a big miracle? And how many times do you go to bed, you beg? God, if you just didn't, no, don't do that. No, thank you. Thank him for the big ones. Thank him for the big ones. Because he's already ready to do it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If I had no faith in this, my mama taught me faith, and she injected it with a belt. I don't know how many of y'all still believe in that, but we got whoopings just for breathing wrong. You know, whooping. Look at mama the wrong way. The spirit of slap come all over her. And that's back when I had teeth, you know. To this day, my mama still believes no matter what. No matter what. And that's injected into me. No matter what. All things are possible to me, to you. If you believe, you start talking that doubt, and it might take you 40 years to walk around that three-day trip. Just start believing God. How many wants a miracle? Huh? Let me go over here. Hold on. How many wants a miracle? How many wants a miracle? Sometimes you got to turn your back on them for them to hear you. I think I'm about done. Thank you. If you need prayer for anything, I'm right here. I'll pray for you for any miracle, anything. Listen, when I got out of prison, I had nothing. And I started my business on the street. And God supplied everything that I needed. A pastor that was coming in to see us in jail, I called him and said, hey, man, I ain't got no money. I need a place to stay. He said, I'll give you some money to get you a place. I said, I'll give it back to you next week. I didn't have a job one. Next week, I had the money for him. And I had a place to stay. All I'm telling you, these little bitty things, keep contributing them to God. Keep contributing to the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid to fail, because with God, there is no failure. Delay is not denial. I think that's how it goes. All them cliches are true, though. Love y'all.
God is good, right? So we're not gonna have Billy Tilly's testimony and not have a time for prayer. So if you're in here and you need God to move in your life, I'm going to ask him to come back up, and I'm going to ask him to pray with us. But, you know, if you've got something going on, you need a healing in your body, you got some other need, something going on in your life that you need God to move in, I just want to invite you to come, and we want to pray with you. We want to believe with you that God's going to move, that God's going to heal, that God's going to do something. You know, we've been praying and believing for miracles, but we got to give God opportunity for miracles. So, if you got something in your life and you need God to touch you, I want to invite you to come. Yeah.
If you don't have anything that you need prayed for, then come up here and pray for us.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come up here and pray for us.
Lord, we just thank you right now. And Lord, we just pray that as you begin to move across this building, Lord, we pray that miracles happen because we're believing for them, God. And we thank you right now for what you're going to do in this place. We thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.